gonna be, well, I better not say I'm gonna be brief tonight, but I better be careful there. But it's gonna try to be brief tonight, amen. We'll try to just cover this one verse. And this verse kind of sticks out a little bit. And so I want to give you a little bit in this. If you remember last week, well, in the back of the last few months, we've been preaching on that he knew her, this woman there at the well. He knew exactly what time to be there. We talked a lot about that and how that he knew all about her pedigree, who she was. He knew all about her life. She was nothing but an old wretched sinner, really just an old adulteress, if you will. And done had five husbands. The one she's living with wasn't even her husband. But God knew all that, amen. And Jesus came by her way, no matter how bad she was. Still, Jesus came by her way. And I'm glad one day I was in the same shape, amen. Glad one day came by my way. I was a wretched sinner, and you was too, amen. And Jesus came by our way one day. Know where we'd be, when we'd be. And he came by our way and saved our soul. And I just glorify him tonight, amen. Just like saying, glad and saved tonight. Amen. Glad and saved tonight. Ain't nothing no better to be than to be saved. Amen. I sure do thank God for that. Ain't a lot of things we could be in this life. We've got an election coming up this year, I know. But I don't want to be the president of the United States. I'd have to take a step down. Amen. I'm glad today I'm saved. Amen. Glad I'm saved by the grace of God and a child of the King. John chapter 4, verse 27 is where we'll take our text tonight. You remember last week we looked in verse number 25 and 26, and we preached last week on the thought about the revelation of the Christ. The revelation of the Christ, the place where finally after their discussion and after a pretty lengthy, I guess you'd say, pretty lengthy discussion there by the well, Jesus finally revealed to her that he was the Christ. We found that in verse 26. We'll read verses 25 down through verse 30 tonight. Stand with us, if you will, for the reading of God's Word tonight. We'll pick up our text tonight in verse 27. The Bible says in verse number 25, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." Let's pray. Our Father tonight, Lord, we thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you just for the opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. Lord, we know, God, that we're nothing. We don't claim, Lord, nothing. And Lord, we sure don't deserve to be here, but we sure do thank you for this opportunity we've had just to be in your house. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that your Spirit would come this way. Oh, God, that you'd fill us, Lord, with your presence tonight. Lord, the Bible talks about in this, actually in this chapter, Lord, that we're studying in, that if we worship you, we must worship in spirit and in truth. And Father, we pray tonight that the Spirit of God would come and help us to worship you and praise you and honor you tonight. Oh, God, I pray, Father, that you'd take a hold of my body tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd anoint me, Lord, with your precious Spirit, God, with the precious oil from heaven, God, to be able, God, to preach. Thus saith the Word of God, the way you'd see fit. Oh, God, I stand in a great need. Can't do nothing without you. Anoint my voice, Lord, that I might be able to lift to the heavens and might be able to preach. Thus saith the Word of God, Lord, I ask, Lord, for fresh oil, fresh unction, Lord, we pray, God, and I ask you, Father, that you'd move in the hearts of your people. Do that, Lord, needs to be done in every heart, each one. Lord, realize sometimes we come in and we're beaten down and discouraged by the things of this world. But, oh, we serve a God that is able to take care of all. Lord, right now, Lord, just in this building, Lord, just in thy presence, let us sit together in heavenly places. Let us get away from the world, get away from the devil, get away from the things and the thoughts of this old world that gets us down. Let us focus our eyes upon thee tonight. Let us lift our eyes into the hills from whence comes our help tonight. God, we pray. Have thine own will, thine own way, God. We give you praise for that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice in verse number 27 there, we'll pick up our text verse there, but I do want to one more time remind you that he has revealed himself to her
in verse number 26, and we preached on that last week. My, what a statement. I say again, as we talked about last week, my, what a statement for to be uttered unto her in her presence and in her hearing there, that I that speak unto thee am he. Boy, I'm telling you, I remember that night that he spoke to me and said, I'm the he that can take away your sin. Amen. You remember that night? Amen. That ought to put a shout in us tonight if we can remember that. I believe that ought to stir our hearts down inside of us to know that the night that Jesus came by and revealed himself unto us. Amen. What a blessing. We want to stop, really, I guess you'd say, or change gears just a little bit. Verse number 27 changes just a little bit. If you notice verse 26 back through here where we've been talking, it's basically being the conversation between her and Jesus there. But in verse number 27, John, as he's writing here, stops and wants to kind of give you a little bit of, I guess you'd say, bring it to a time frame, if you will, or bring it to something and kind of jog your memory about what's going on here. And there's an event that happens that kind of changes things, if you will, in their conversation. Have you ever had a conversation, you maybe, and somebody else is talking there and discussing certain things, and then all of a sudden somebody else walks up, and just by them walking up and their presence being there, it kind of changes things, you know. It ain't that they're butting in or anything. It ain't that they're kind of getting on the conversation or anything, but they just walked up, and it kind of changes the atmosphere, if you will. That's kind of what happened right here in this scripture. And I find in this scripture here, it's kind of odd that it happens that way. Or it's kind of odd that John would stop right in the midst and actually make the statement and actually say what's going on here. It's kind of odd that he did that. And I got to looking at that, and God gave me the thought about number two, the second message that I told you in the third series, three series there, is the return of the disciples. You pray for us tonight. The devil's trying his best to choke me up tonight, trying to keep taking my voice again. You pray for us tonight. We find in verse number 27 there, though, he says there, and upon this, notice those three words there, and upon this, in other words, right then, in other words, right at that moment. Now, you say, well, preacher, what moment's he talking about? Well, notice verse 26, and that's the reason I wanted to bring you back to that. Is that's the very moment that Jesus revealed himself to her. That's when the disciples walked up. Now, I thought about this. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation or not, but I remember a time when I was in a situation, I was witness to somebody, and we went out on visitation years and years ago, and we went to this person's house, and we knew they were lost, and we went there, and we began to witness to them. Man, the Holy Ghost filled that place. I'm telling you, he came into that place, and we began to witness to that person, began to take the Word of God and tell him about Jesus there. And it wasn't but just a minute. He said, well, wait a minute, I've got to go to the bathroom. Wait a minute. And I said, okay. So we stepped back just a little bit. He got up. He went to the bathroom. And when he came back out of the bathroom, he was a totally different person. I mean, the atmosphere totally changed. I worried about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I worried about that for a long time. And then I come to the realization that God knows what is going on. God realized that it wasn't exactly time right then. He wasn't exactly ready to accept him right then. And I began to think about that as I began to study this. I began to see his disciples walking up there, and I began to see them kind of changing the atmosphere, if you will, there. Oh, they've been for a lot of verses here. They've been in deep conversation. They've been talking about where they're supposed to worship. They've been talking about who each other are, that he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan. They've been talking about her past. They've been in deep discussion. And then all of a sudden, right after Jesus there says, I that speak unto thee am he. Boy, that's when the disciples walked up and the atmosphere began to change. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus would know what was going on, okay? Jesus realized what was going on. So in this message tonight, I want to give you three things very quickly that I believe that we could see out of this that might help us a little bit, maybe as we're witnessing to someone, maybe as we are telling someone about Jesus, maybe some things that really would help us, okay, in the return of the disciples. And then I want to preach next week, if the Lord let us, if you will, on the results of meeting Christ, the results of meeting Christ. So we'll look at that next week. But here in verse 27, I find that he says this, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Now, as we look at this, I see number one, they're coming, if you will. As they're walking up, what they saw. I don't know about you, but deductive reasoning here, I see that woman sitting on the well, or that woman beside the well. I see Jesus sitting on the well, the Bible says. And as these men are walking up here and walking into the presence, I can imagine them kind of coming up very quietly, or maybe coming up very slowly, coming up looking at what's going on. Now, you say, preacher, where have they been? I believe they've been into the city to get food, is what I think. You can study in the scriptures. I don't know that the Bible really says that, but I do believe they've went out to get scripture or get meat there, because if you notice on down in the scriptures there, it talks about that they began to try to get Jesus to eat there, and I believe that's the reason that they were coming back. So with deductive reasoning there, I believe maybe they've got some food in their hand. Maybe they're walking back, and maybe they're thinking in the back of their minds, well, we got food for Jesus. He hasn't eaten a while. I know he's weak. I know he's tired, and we've got something for Jesus. We've got something for him to eat. And as they began to walk up there, they don't even realize the conversation they've been having. They don't even realize that he's been trying to get this lady to see exactly who he is. But all they've got is, if you will, the physical food. All they've got is the physical food that they're getting ready to take to Jesus. Can I say this? When we walk up into a situation there where we think that we're supposed to witness, let's forget about physical things. Amen. We need to forget about physical things and realize that the spiritual things are what's important at this moment. Amen. Those spiritual things, I believe that's where the disciples was. I believe they had the food there. But I believe when they walked up, they realized automatically, and they said, whoa, let's back up, because the Bible says in that verse, no man said anything. No man said anything. He didn't say why anything at all there. And we'll get into that here in just a minute. But what they did when they walked up very slowly, I believe, and got into the conversation, or got into listening a little bit in the conversation, and realized what was going on. So the coming up there was just, if you will, the way Jesus wanted it to happen. Now, let me back up here and say this. Jesus knows what's going on, okay? Don't think for just a minute that he knows what's happening here. He knows at what second they're walking up. He knows what second they're coming back, okay? He realizes that, and he knows that. So this didn't catch him off guard. Amen, this didn't catch him off guard. Can I say this to you tonight? There's nothing that catches Jesus off guard. He already knows what's going to happen. Amen. He already knows exactly what's going on in your life. He already knows when you walk up to that person that you're going to witness to. He knows what they're going to say. He knows what you're going to say. Amen. Listen, he knows it all. Amen. He knows and understands it all. He knows how many hairs on their head tonight. Amen. He knows how old I am. He knows how old you are. Amen. He knows where we live, what we're doing. Amen. Can I say this? He knows if it's going to snow tomorrow. Somebody say amen. He knows that, amen. He knows all about the weather, amen. He knows that there's nothing that catches him off guard. We could read this scripture, and in deductive reasoning and thinking about this, we could say, well, that caught Jesus off guard. They need to have a little more of a conversation. They need to talk a little more, because he didn't say anything. After Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. She never said another word to Jesus. There was no more communication in between her and him. And we could look at it and say, well, the disciples walked up and interrupted this. But that ain't the case, because Jesus knew exactly the second that they were going to walk up. He knew everything about it. Amen. He knew what was going on in the situation. So it did not catch him off guard. Amen. I'm glad I've got a Savior tonight that ain't nothing catches him off guard. Amen. He is a timely Savior. He knows exactly when things are going to happen. Amen. Can we get that in our minds tonight? I don't know about you, just help me when I seen this and God give me this. It helps me to realize and know He's got this thing. Amen. He's got the timeline laid out. There's a bigger plan than you and I could ever fathom. And wherever He wants us to be in that plan, we ought to be happy with it. Amen. Wherever, whatever time, we ought to be happy with it. Amen. We ought to praise God that He just loves us enough that He put us in that place and know that we're going to be there. There's nothing, church, that catches Him off guard. I want you to understand that tonight. There is absolutely nothing. What's going on in your life, there is nothing that catches Him off guard. Every single thing that's going on in this church, there's nothing that catches Him off guard. He knows it's going to happen. What's going on tomorrow at work, He already knows what's going to happen. Amen. What's going on with your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, He already knows what's going to happen. Amen. He knows, by the way, He knows today we're going to die, by the way. Amen. Mine might be tomorrow, mine might be 2 years from now, it might be 50 years from now. I have no idea, but God knows exactly when and where. Amen. Listen, there's nothing that catches Him off guard. We need to understand that. Let me give you number two as we look into this. I find not only the coming, as they, if the Bible says there, and upon this came the disciples, but notice the next statement here. And marveled that He talked with the woman. And marveled. I find not only the coming as they came back to Him, but I find also the confusion. These men are confused. They're looking, I mean, according to what I can study and what I can find out, they're Jews as well. And they walk back and they see Him sitting there on the side of the well talking to this Samaritan woman. Now, first up, as we look at this, if you study your scriptures, number one, as we've said already, as we've been studying this, she's a Samaritan. For Him to be sitting there talking to her, man, this is just unordinary. Amen. Number two, she's a sinner. She is a wretched sinner. She's just an old adulteress is all she is. And yet the Son of God's sitting there on the well talking to her. Not only is she a Samaritan and she is a sinner, but if you study the scriptures, she's also a woman, which at that time, they were not supposed to, men were not supposed to talk to the women out in the middle of the, out in the streets there like that. So that's number three. Three strikes and you're out. Huh? And these men are walking up and they're seeing this going on here. They're confused. They're marveling. They can't understand what's going on. They're looking through fleshly eyes and they're saying, wow. When you marvel about something, what do? You say, wow, I can't believe this. Man, I can't believe what I'm seeing. This is amazing. I can't believe this. I'm going to be honest with you out here. If somebody had looked at me the night I got saved, you know what they'd have done? They'd have said, wow. Wow, Jesus knew He's going to be there. Wow, Jesus knew He's a sinner. Wow, Jesus knew exactly who He was. Yet He's speaking to him. Yet He's talking to him. Yet He's convicting him. Yet He's drawing him to it. I say, wow, amen. Don't you know tonight we could say, wow, the night we got saved. Amen. When Jesus came by our way, I guarantee the folks around us said, wow, amen. I say, wow, every time I see somebody get saved, because it's a miracle of God that God the Father would send down God the Son to die on the cross for us and then ascend back and then send back the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost would draw us to an old-fashioned altar, to an old sinner saved by grace. Amen. Yet we marvel at that. Amen. That's confusing. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand it. Ain't nobody I believe is understanding. Somebody gets saved, I just marvel at it. Amen. David said in the scripture over there, what is man that thou art mindful of him? By the way, we don't deserve to be saved. Amen. We don't deserve nothing but hell tonight. Amen. It is a miracle of God that He would even look our way. It is a miracle of God that He would even save our soul. It is a miracle of God that He would even acknowledge us. Amen. Oh, listen. When they walked up, they marveled that He spoke with her. They marveled that they were talking and having that conversation. I say one more time, that's where we were at when we got saved. Amen. Thank God that's where we were at. And can I say this to you tonight? As we, I said it a minute ago, and I'm I'm getting ahead of myself into the other message, but that'll be all right. When we begin to witness to somebody, I don't know about you, but sometimes I marvel. You say, well, preacher, why is that? Because it seems like when you go to witness to somebody, the words will be right there. I mean, you won't even know what to say, and boom, it'll be there. And then you'll step back and you'll say, where'd that come from? That's the way I do all the time preaching. Old Brother Doug, me and him talk about it too. We get up here, we begin to preach, and God gives us thoughts. And we get done preaching, we're like, man, where in that world that come from? My wife, I know, thinks I'm the biggest liar ever was. Because I'll come to church and I'll say, man, I ain't got nothing. Man, I'm just blank. I ain't got nothing. And by the time I get in the pulpit, God just moves in. God blesses. And I get done. I get back in the car and I look over there and I'll say, where in the world that come from? That's the way God is. We marvel at those things, don't we? Amen. We just can't understand it because we see through fleshly eyes. That's what happened right here. When they returned, they marveled at what was going on, that God was working and God was saving an old wretched sinner. Amen. Well, I like it when we can marvel, amen, when God saves souls, amen. Thank God for that. So we see that not only did when they come back there, it was a timely coming back. God knew what was going on. We see that God knew that they were going to marvel. They were confused about what was going on. They didn't understand it. From all what they'd been taught, they wasn't supposed to speak to this woman because, number one, she is a woman. Number two, she's a sinner. And number three, she is a Samaritan. He wasn't even supposed to be talking to her. Boy, he was. Amen. Thank God he was. And they marveled at that. What a blessing. Then we find number three in the last part of this. I found not only their coming, their confusion, but I thought about their communication. Boy, there's some communication going on. Notice with me in the last part of this verse. The Bible says here, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Boy, that's some communication, ain't it? Amen. I'm telling you, they're talking, ain't they? That ain't what the Bible says. Yet no man said anything. I say right here, I like this saying myself. My granddad's one that told it to me years ago. He said, the Lord give you two ears and one mouth. So you need to listen twice as much as you speak. I believe that'll apply. Amen. I believe that'll apply every day, okay? There's sometimes we don't need to say anything. There's sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut, amen? I remember my little old granny, she'd say this. She'd say, if you can't say something good about somebody, just keep your mouth shut. Amen, just keep your mouth shut. Now, I believe that's pretty good. Well, that's kind of what happened right here. They didn't dare say anything. Even though they came back just at the right time, they had the food for Jesus. And even though they saw her and seen what was going on and knew that Jesus, as far as tradition was concerned, shouldn't have been talking to her. Boy, he said, no man said anything because they reverenced him and they reverenced what was going on. They knew that Jesus was in control of that situation and they were letting him have control of that situation. You know what will happen in our lives when we let Jesus take control of our situation? Sometimes we'll keep our mouth shut instead of opening our mouth. Sometimes we let this go too quick, amen? Sometimes, you ever been to the place you say something and you don't want to, you shouldn't have said it? You're reaching out there to grab them words, huh? That ain't what happened right here. These disciples were quiet and they didn't say anything. They didn't even address it. They just stood there and marveled, realizing what was going on. It was amazing. But I notice in this scripture there's two things that they didn't do. No man said anything to her, or no man said anything to him. There was two people sitting there. They could have said something to either one of them, but they didn't. Notice the scriptures. The Bible says here, and I noticed this as I looked at this, I thought, wow, God's opening this up to us. He said, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Notice the or there. In other words, there's two people there. They didn't walk up and look at this woman and say, what do you want? What are you doing talking to the Savior? What are you doing talking to Jesus? What are you seeking? They didn't say anything about that. And they didn't walk up to Jesus and didn't walk up to him and say, what are you talking to her for? She's a Samaritan. What are you talking to her for? She's an old sinner. What are you talking to her for? She's a woman. They didn't do that either. Oh, I think they was right in the middle of God's will when they just stepped back and didn't say a word. Amen. I believe sometimes we just need to step back and let God take care of it. Let him handle it. Amen. I believe we'll be all right. I believe we'll be better off sometime just step back and let God handle it. Amen. Because the fact of the matter is, they didn't need to know. The fact of the matter is, they had no idea. They didn't need to know. Because Jesus had it under control. Listen to me tonight. As we look at this, I thought to myself, sometimes these things we just don't need to know. Now I realize there's people out there that knows you've got to know everything. But sometimes we just don't need to know. Amen. I say this so many times. I love it when folk, we take prayer requests, folks say, I got an unspoken request. And I know somebody think maybe in the back of their mind, well, I wonder what that is. I don't care. I don't need to know. I like it when, preacher, when somebody come up and say, preacher, we pray for, I got a special prayer request. We pray for it. I'm like, yep, unless you want me to know, I don't need to know. But God knows, amen. Ain't you glad you got a God that knows? Amen. I'm glad I got a God that knows tonight. So these disciples could have looked at either one of them. What seekest thou? That she done found what she's looking for. And then they could have looked at Jesus and said, what are you doing talking with this woman? That would have been the worldly approach, wouldn't it? The worldly approach would have been, what are you doing talking to her? Oh, she's an old wretched sinner. I wonder those maybe that goes out and has witnessed maybe to a lost loved one or maybe to a drunkard or alcoholic or drug addict. What are you doing talking to them? Huh? A lot of them's like those folks are like the Good Samaritan that would pass by on the other side. And I guarantee you that Good Samaritan that went down and bound up those wounds and everything, some folks would have come by and said, what are you doing that for? What are you doing that for? That's the fleshly eyes. And these disciples could have done the same thing. They could have looked at Jesus and said, what are you doing sitting there talking to her? What are you doing that? But no man has said anything. They just stepped back and let God handle it. The whole thought on this point here is this. Let's just let God take care of it. We don't need to say anything. Just let God take care of it. And when it's time for us to say something, He'll let us know. Amen. He'll let us know. He'll give you the words. Where is it in the Gospels over there where He talked about that He sent them out, sent the disciples out. And He told them this. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. He said, because before you can open your mouth, He says, the words will be there. Amen. He said, they'll already be in your mouth there. All you got to do is just trust in me. Amen. What a blessing. I find in this scripture here again, just in closing, I find this is kind of odd because it kind of stops at the end of the conversation and John has to kind of help us to realize what's going on right here that the disciples have just walked up. And it kind of breaks up the atmosphere and brings it to another atmosphere of, I guess you'd say, some things changing. Would you agree with me or say amen? Some changing there. Let me say this. There'll always be change. I thought about this coming down the road, and I reckon God was just burdening my heart with this message. There'll always be change. Nothing's ever the same. We live in a world where we change every day. Amen. We live in a world where our bodies change, our minds change, our atmosphere change, our churches change, our homes change. I mean, I have aches and pains every morning. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. We change every day, okay? We do. There's changes every day. But we serve a God that don't change. The common denominator right here is no matter what happens in this situation, no matter what happens in this conversation here, God is still in control. God is still in control and always will be. I love the fact, and I love to preach this, that even on the cross, He was still in control. Even on the cross, He still knew what was going on, and He's the one that gave up the ghost. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He's still in control, and He always will be, church. He always will be. I'm glad tonight I know that He's in control because He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen the next day. He knows what's in plan for my life. He knows what's in plan for your life. Now, I realize and I understand that that's easy preached and hard lived. Because sometimes we want to know now. Sometimes we want to know right now what's supposed to happen. We want to know right now what's going to happen out yonder. But what we got to do is just trust in Him that He does know what's going on. Amen? He realizes that. Let's stand your feet tonight. I appreciate your attention tonight. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll do the invitation this way tonight. We'll not have any music tonight, but just in the stillness of the moment tonight. If you might need to slip out of your seat, come get in this altar tonight. Maybe you'd just like to ask God to help you tonight.